You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Chris Fleming from Dead Famous will be there. Leslie Rule, the author of Coast to Coast Ghosts and Whispers from the Grave. Richard Salva, author of Soul Journey from Lincoln to Lindbergh, which is an amazing book. And we're going to be having Richard on our show here in the not too far off future. And Tim Cridland from Ripley's Believe It or Not TV show. There's going to be more speakers there as well. There's a cocktail party, great lectures, midnight seance, ghost stories, a live ghost hunt, and more. So if you missed last year's Las Vegas Paranormal Conference, you don't want to miss it this year. It's a great opportunity to come out. There was only 100 spots left available last week. I don't know how many have filled up. The registration fee is only $150 a person, and that gets you in for all of the events that I just mentioned. But you have to do that before the 15th of August. Anybody that signs up after the 15th of August will pay $175 a ticket. So you want to make sure that you get out there. First of all, just go to see Vegas. It's the greatest place in the world. Great place to visit. Great place to have a lot of fun. And a great place to investigate the paranormal with your friends Dave and Tim. And with the great people from the Las Vegas Paranormal Conference. This evening, we've got a great guest, as I mentioned, before we started off the show. And again, I wanted to thank everybody who tuned in with us last week and all the great mail we had regarding Lorraine Warren and the positive feedback. We want to thank you very much for that. She was a great lady, and we are going to have her back on the show to continue telling us more of her stories about the different investigations that she and her husband have been a part of. Our guest right now is Chip Coffey, and he is a clairvoyant, a clairaudient, and a clairsentient psychic, as well as a fully conscious medium. He's a great-grandson of the famed Native American medicine woman, Minnie Sue Morrow Foster, whose own amazing gifts were widely hailed in the early part of the 20th century. Chip is blessed with the God-given ability to provide others with amazing insight, guidance, and direction. And as a medium, he is also able to reconnect with his clients with loved ones who've crossed over. Chip himself, he has a master's degree in counseling and works extensively with hospice organizations. He's providing a spiritual support to patients and their families, and he's also a certified paranormal investigator and frequently consults with victims, families, and law enforcement agencies on unsolved murder and missing person cases. So we'd like to welcome into the darkness this evening, Mr. Chip Coffey. Chip, thanks a lot for joining us.
Mr. Dave, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great. I appreciate you coming on and being a part of the show with us this evening.
It is certainly a pleasure to do so.
Now, you know, we've had contact on and off in email form for a couple months here. We've had the chance to talk and become friends, and I got to tell you, Chip is a great guy, very interesting. He's got some fascinating insights, just a really, really interesting gentleman with his past. Why don't we get into that a little bit here, Chip? Start us off. Tell us a little bit about how old you were and when you realized that you had these abilities.
Well, it actually started pretty early on in my life. As you mentioned, that my great-grandmother on my mom's side of the family was a Native American medicine woman and shaman, and my dad's mom read tea leaves, so they weren't too surprised when they had what I guess they considered a child with a gift or an ability. I remember being very young and knowing when the phone was going to ring and who would be on the phone, you know, probably 4 or 5 or 6 years old.
And Tim used to know when people were going to call, too, because he was always getting in trouble at school.
Yeah, that would be true, always. But it started early on, and people weren't too surprised in my family because they were, in a sort of way, already familiar with psychic ability or the paranormal, the metaphysical, because of the other folks in my family who had gifts or abilities. So they weren't too shocked when there was a kid that all of a sudden sprang up that was the weird kid.
And who was that?
That would be me.
Oh, you're weird? Come on, Chip.
No. That would be me.
Give yourself a little credit.
That would be me.
Goofy, maybe, not weird.
Well, yeah. I got called quirky in an article recently, and I thought that was a kind of a good word.
That's a nice one, sure.
And then I moved in when I was about 10 years old, moved into a house that turned out to be haunted in upstate New York. So it just continued on and on. I learned how to read tarot cards when I was a teenager and became kind of a party favor. at parties during college, people would ask me to pull out my tarot cards and read or do psychometry, touch one of their objects like a ring or a watch or their card keys.
See, Tim used to get in trouble at college when he'd touch things when he was drinking at parties.
Well, I knew that was coming. I figured somebody was going to pick up. I was trying to figure out how I was going to dig my way out of touching things at a college party.
I think that goes on at a lot of college parties.
Well, yeah, there were things that I didn't touch that I was asked to touch at college parties, if you really want to know.
No, come on, this is a family show.
I said, you don't really want me to read that, do you?
In some cases, I bet it was a short read. Oh,
hey,
good night, everybody.
How do you read that body part, by the way?
Bum, yes,
exactly. So you started doing this in college. Now, let me ask you, when you were a kid, were you able to see the spirits of dead people, or were you just aware of their presence and energy there?
What's very interesting is, I think because of some agreements that I've made with the spirit world, so to speak, mm-hmm. they don't manifest themselves to me like they did to the kid in Sixth Sense or some other mediums that actually see the manifestations or the apparitions of the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually get that. I usually sense the energies of the spirits around me, and occasionally will see a form or a partial form. But they know that in certain instances, people are surprised to hear this, but I'm a big chicken when it comes to seeing people actually from the spirit world fully appear to me.
Sure.
You know, it's time to do the laundry. That's the way it is with me, because it scares the bejesus out of me.
But you've got these abilities. You know that they're not there to hurt you, Chip. Why would you be afraid?
I think it's more of a fact that it's startling to me than anything else.
Sure.
That when it happens, it's just so profound, and it's just one of those things that... Scared is probably not the right word. I think startling is when it happens, because with me it almost always happens when I'm not really expecting to get an apparition.
Okay, that's a fair enough answer. Now, so you started seeing these, you started hearing and feeling these presences when you were young. And, you know, were you afraid at that time when you were sensing these things?
I really wasn't afraid. It was especially, I can remember back into the times of living in the house in New York. And some pretty dramatic things happened in the house. Lights would turn on and off by themselves. The piano would play by itself. I heard my first EVP when a group of paranormal investigators from nearby Cornell University came in the house with one of the old reel-to-reel tape recorders. You gotta remember that this is back in the late 1960s when they did this. They brought the big reel-to-reel tape recorders and got some of the most dramatic EVP that I've ever heard on this reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Back then, reel-to-reel, was that when you used to have to ride the Brontosaurus to school?
And wrote on stone tablets.
Yes, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, the earth was still cooling when I was a kid.
Wow.
My kids see black and white and they go, "What's wrong with the TV, Dad?"
Well, this reel-to-reel tape recorder was pretty dramatic, let me tell you.
I
it
bet.
Was one of those old dinosaur tape recorders,
mm-hmm.
and got some pretty dramatic ghostly sounds on the tape recorder, and the folks from Cornell said something that I thought was kind of overstating the obvious. They said, "Yeah, we really think that your house is haunted." I went, "Duh, you think?" So when they left, you know, they were pretty convinced that we lived in a house that was haunted, which we already knew. But the things that went on there, I wasn't really afraid of the things that went on in the house. I've seen some pretty hair-raising things in the years that I've been involved in the metaphysical or the paranormal. But as far as being afraid of it, there have been times when I've actually been afraid. I think, as my good friend Patty Starr often says, my ghost hunting buddy and my business partner Patty Starr often says, I think it's more that we're startled and don't expect it. I don't like being startled at an unexpected time when something is standing close by and all of a sudden I catch a glimpse of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more the startle factor. And, you know, I think anybody that says when they're going into a place that's supposedly very paranormally active, if they don't say that they're a little hesitant or nervous or something, they're a whole lot braver than I am. I think that most people get a little bit of an edge. There's your radio show name. Get a bit of an edge when they go into a place like that. If they don't, they're a lot braver than Chip Coffee is.
Right. Well, I would think, though, first of all, let's go back to this because you whetted everybody's appetite, and I know we're here to kind of talk about your mediumship abilities, but tell us, what are a couple of the hair-raising things you've seen besides the 70s?
That did it for me. I never thought I'd see tie-dye twice in one lifetime, but here it is again. I think one of the most hair-raising experiences I've ever had was probably the first real, put that in quotation marks, ghost hunt that I ever went on. And again, that was with my buddy Patty Starr. And she and I actually met through the internet. I tell everybody we met through an internet porn site, and she really hates me when I tell that. we're Patty.
Psychicporn.com? Is that what it was?
That's it. NakedPsychics.com. Patty, if she's listening to this or listens to a playback, my life is in jeopardy, let me tell you that. But Patty and I met through an internet, psychic internet site, and the interesting thing is we both grew up in the area near a small town called Spartanburg in South Carolina. We didn't know each other at that time period, but I found it very interesting that we had both grown up in that same little community around this town, and we started to communicate, and shortly after that, she invited me to come to her home in Lexington, Kentucky, to go to a ghost hunt in what she identified as a place called the Bishop's House. And this was an old Episcopal bishop's residence that had been built in the 1800s, and the church had let go of the property, and it had been desanctified sometime in the 1970s, I think it was. It had for a while fallen into disrepair, turned into a crack den, and then somebody, which that's enough to stir up activity to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But
because ghosts like their crack.
Yeah, they do. I guess
they're
ghost addicts.
Yes.
The house had been bought and turned into an apartment, subdivided into an apartment dwelling. It's a huge, like, 8,000 square foot building. And the people that bought the house, the guy that bought the house, his tenants started reporting a lot of strange activity. They had come home, and all the candles in their apartments would be lit. The water would turn on by itself in their faucets. The cabinet doors would open by themselves. And they started reporting little things like that, and he started to investigate the history of the house and discovered that reportedly a series of murders had taken place in the basement of the house. And so we got called in to investigate, and Patty invited me to come up and go on the investigation with her, and it was total baptism by fire. Because the minute we pulled up to the house, it's imposing enough just to look at in the mm-hmm. dark, and when we went into this basement, it was the feeling that I got as a psychic and a medium. The feeling that I got was just so overwhelming when I went into that basement of that house that it was, I was totally taken aback by how heavy the atmosphere was in that house.
Now, when you say heavy, see, we've never experienced that, you know, doing a few of the little investigations that Tim and I have been on. I mean, when you say heavy, are you sensing the sense of dread, the sense of electricity in the air? Is it fear? I mean, is it just like this pungent smell of death? I mean, what exactly, can you help the listeners understand? What do you feel when you get that?
When I went into the basement of the house, it felt to me like every bit of the air had been sucked out of my lungs. Mm. I just felt, it's almost like you feel like you're drowning, and yet you're not in water. Now, that was the way I felt there. Usually, okay. If I go into a place that has any sort of activity, my symptomology, my physical symptomology is I get hit in the gut. The only way I can explain it to you is that it feels like somebody just presses in on my solar plexus and my abdomen. That's what I get. Some people get headaches. Some people get backaches. I get it right in the gut when I go into a place. But when I went into Bishop's house, it was like someone was smothering me. That was how cloying the atmosphere was in the house. I discerned that murders did take place in the house. You'd have to go in this place to really believe it. It's got such evidence even in the basement of the things. We discovered things in the basement like a doctor's examining table and specimen trays and shackles on the wall where this man supposedly murdered and dismembered people in the basement. And it wasn't like an angry or horrifying feeling. It was more a feeling of they wanted like recognition or absolution for what had happened to these victims in this house.
Okay.
So
what was it you saw there that really kind of spooked you? I mean, aside from the feeling, yeah.
Really, the thing that spooked me the most, I think, was in the foyer of the house. It was pitch black, and the only light in the foyer of the house was the light that was coming from the viewfinders of digital cameras that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And EMF meters, electromagnetic field meters, started to spike, indicating a change in the EMF fields in the room. And that was an indication, of course, that we were starting to get some sort of activity. And in the darkness, someone flashed a digital camera, and standing by the guy whose meter was spiking, I saw the full-blown apparition of a little girl in the foyer of the building, and so did one of the other psychic mediums there. Also, we saw the apparition of a little blonde-haired girl in the foyer, and I said, holy expletive deleted, I just saw a little girl standing beside you. And one of the other folks, of course, that I mentioned before said, I did too. The interesting thing about it is I've gone back to the house twice after that. Call me crazy. I don't know how Patty convinced me to go back twice after that for follow-up investigations, but I did. But I've encountered the spirit of that little girl both times that I've been back to the house as well. Another interesting factor about that is the little girl has actually called on the telephone the owner of the house twice, asking him to let his dog come down into the foyer and play with her.
Wow.
So very interesting things that have gone on in that house, and some quite incredible things that have gone on in the Bishop's house in Lexington. But that probably, my first real official ghost hunt, was truly a pretty scary experience. Patty invited me to stay with her at her house, and she's got a haunted guest room in her finished basement in her house. So not only did I have to deal with going to this place, I had to sleep in her basement. I slept in my clothes with my rosary around my neck, eyes wide open, or at least one eye open, and really didn't even go to sleep for 2 days after this experience. It was so rattling.
Wow, that's unreal. Did anything show up in the picture? Did you get a picture of the apparition or shadow?
There's some photos on my website. Not of the apparition. No, not of the apparition. Now, I'm not a big orbist. I'm not keen, like a lot of people will tell you this, that are in the investigative field. I'm not sold on every orb in every photograph. But right. In this, now, granted, the basement was dusty. You're in a stone and dirt basement. We shined a million candle-watt light in the basement to try to check for environmental contaminants, but even that doesn't completely do it. I'm not fully convinced, but yet there's a picture of dozens of orbs around me in the basement of this building. There's a photograph. I will often say, Dave and Tim, that if an orb shows some sign of intelligence, such as if you give it commands like a dog and it does tricks for you, then I can believe that it's something more than an environmental contaminant.
Right.
Now, there's a photograph of me and a video of me calling the little girl over to me in the basement of the building,
mm-hmm.
holding my hand out, kneeling down so I can kind of be on her child level, holding my hand out. The orb comes over. I asked her to come to me, and the orb comes over and floats over my hand.
Wow. Now, and that's at your website, you said, right? Chip?
It is.
And that's chipcoffee.com, C-O-F-F-E-Y.com.
That is correct.
Okay.
The orb comes over and floats over my hand, and then another orb comes up behind it, and like it's being chased or playing chase, those two orbs circle around me and jet off camera. And that's on the second visit to the house. And the wow. interesting thing on the third visit to the house is this. You know the lights that you see in construction sites that are the bare bulbs with the webs over them?
Oh, right, sure.
There was one of those lights hanging by a staircase that led up into the main apartment where the man who supposedly committed the murders lived years mm-hmm. ago. Now, I encountered the spirit of the little girl standing on that staircase the third time I was at the house, and she started communicating with me, answering yes and no questions, by making one of these light bulbs, these bare bulbs covered with the mesh wire covering, light, or yes was turn the light on, no was leave the light off. And I was asking her questions, and this was being videotaped by one of the videographers that was on the ghost hunt with us, and she was answering questions left and right by making the light bulb go on or leaving it off for a no answer. And the owner of the house came up and said, "Did I see that light bulb going off?" And I said, "Yeah, the little girl is communicating with me using the light bulb for yes and no questions, answers to the questions." And he said, "There's no power to that light."
Wow. No doubt. That's
absolutely
a little creepy.
So when things like that happen...
Now, is that video on your site as well?
That video is not on my site.
Okay. All right, but the one with the orbs coming at your hand and kind of
I believe the
circling
one with the orbs coming at okay. my hand is, and if it's not on my site, it would be on Patty Starr's site, which is ghosthunter.com.
All right. Well, for those of you that have just tuned in, you're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Chip Coffee. He's a medium and a psychic, and he's here to talk to us a little bit about his life, and we're going to also open up the phone lines to do some mini readings. Chip has graciously allowed us to have some callers call in. We'll do maybe 5-10 minute little readings if we can. You could call us at 800-960-2289. Again, that's toll free at 800-960-2289. We'll be right back with Chip Coffee and more right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
If it weren't for ghosts and aliens, these guys wouldn't be getting any action at all.
Yeah, baby!
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Oh yeah, getting funky. Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with us, our guest this evening is Mr. Chip Coffee, and you can visit him at his website at chipcoffee.com. There'll also be a link up for it at our site at darknessradio.com. Chip, we appreciate having you on the show with us this evening, and I'd like to mention, for those of you that are calling in, we've got a couple of you on hold right now. For those of you calling in, our lines are currently locked up. Just keep trying, and you should be able to get through. Make sure that you have a pen and paper handy for the little mini readings that you're going to be getting, because you want to jot down all the notes that you can. And in the next few minutes while we're talking to Chip, I want you to think about who is it that you'd really like to have come through for you, so that way when we make a connection, you've kind of already opened up the conduit, or it might speed things up a little bit. Remain open about it, whether you're skeptical or not about this. The only thing that's going to help is if you just kind of open up. Don't give away too much, of course, like we say. You don't have to answer any specific questions or give names of who you want to talk to, because that might just screw up Chip in trying to actually validate who's coming through for you. Yeses, noes, that should be the best way to do it, or I don't knows. And if you don't know, just don't get hung up on it. Write it down, come back to it a little bit later. Does that about cover it, Chip?
Actually, I'll tell you what I'd prefer to have people do if we can do that.
Sure.
I work a little differently than some other mediums do, and when you said kind of, some mediums will tell you don't have any expectations for who you want to have come through.
Right.
I like for my clients to come to me fully expectant of who they want to come through. So, if your callers have someone specifically that they want to talk to, this is the way I'd like to do it this evening, if we can do this. If they can tell me three things about the person that they want me to try to bring things through about or bring that person through, that is this. Tell me the first name of the person or the name that you called them, and I don't mean like I called him Dad or I called him Mom. What was the person's, like, given name, first name? The second thing is what the relationship is with you, and the third thing is tell me how long it's been since that person passed away. That's all I want to know, and as you said, just give me a yes or no if I ask for it. Don't feed me any information. And the last thing is, as you said, and thank you for saying this, if it doesn't make sense, if it's cryptic, just hold on to it. Don't discount or discredit it. Hold on to it, because you could be having a bit of psychic amnesia that you're not thinking about at that point in time. You may talk about your reading with someone else, and immediately it makes sense. But almost always, cryptic or unclear information that may come through is validated at some near point in the future.
All right, that sounds good. Now, for those of you that are doing this, since we've worked differently with different mediums, and this almost sounds like the opposite of what we've always been told, is don't give out that type of information, because then people can do a cold reading. You then provide, though, you're not just giving basics. You by giving that kind of information, it's helping you to tune into that spirit so that then you can come up with evidence or clarification that, you know, will still help to provide and proof who these people are.
What that does for me is this. Mm-hmm. If I open my channel, some other mediums open their channel and they have what I call open mic night.
Okay.
And that is, they say, any spirit that wants to come through for you, just come right on through. My clients are, and most people go, I know when I go to see, the limited times that I've been to see a medium for information, I've been hoping that my mom would come through. I've been hoping that that would happen. And open channel mediums tend to bring through, not my mom, who stands off to the side, but my dad or my mom's sister always come through in mediumship readings that I have.
Stronger personalities?
Well, I think it's my dad and I had a lot of issues that needed to be resolved, and okay. my aunt was a big mouth.
Okay.
So those two factors contribute to the fact that my mom's standing off to the side going, I love you, son, I love you, son, I'm here, but, you know, these two are the dominant personalities in the spirit world. So I would rather have my clients come to me, provide me with this information. I'm just not going to tell you, your dad loved you.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to try to pull out things that are so distinct. I tell people, if you don't have an oh my God or an aha moment during a mediumship reading, a full mediumship reading, then it's not been successful or valid.
Fair enough. Well, why don't we'll take one call right now, and then we'll kind of talk for a few minutes after that. But let's just kind of give people a feel for it. On line one with us, we have Laura. Laura, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Laura, were you able to hear that while you were on hold here, what Chip is looking for?
All I heard was music, but I turned it on from the internet so I could hear what he was saying.
Okay. Well, what?
Hey, Laura, how are you?
I'm fine.
What Chip is looking for is if you have somebody specifically you'd like to have come through tonight, like mom, dad, cousin, uncle, brother, friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, state your intention to Chip by giving just the name of what you'd call that person, also telling him about how long they've been gone, and then what was the third piece that you wanted, Chip?
Relationship, the name of the person, what your relationship was, grandmother, aunt, uncle, whatever the personal relationship you had with the spirit is, and how long it's been since this person has passed.
And then everything will be yeses and nos from there out. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Have you got that person in mind now, Laura?
Yes.
And can you hear Chip okay?
Yes.
Okay, Chip, can you hear Laura?
I do hear Laura well.
All right, good. Well, then I'll be quiet and let you two do what you do.
Laura, tell me the name of the person you want me to try to reach.
Her nickname is Billy.
Billy?
Billy.
Okay. And what's the relationship that you had with Billy?
She's my grandmother.
And how long has it been since your grandmother, Billy, passed?
Approximately 3 years.
Okay. Bear with me.
That's fine.
One of the things that I pick up around your grandmother is this, that there's something surrounding her passing that had to do, it's not just one thing that brought about her passing is the thing that I want to tell you, that there were multiple complications of things that were involved with the way that your grandmother passed. Understand?
Yes.
It really feels to me like I'm really fluidy all of a sudden, so evidently she got very fluidy at some point. Was she retaining fluids, and was there something complicating with the fact that she had pressure in her head, and the pressure in her head feels like that was the main contributing source and could have also been due to medications that she was taking that were causing pressure in her head. But I'm feeling things that were complicated with pressure, fluidy pressure in her chest, as well as a lot of stress or pressure in her head. Understand that?
Yes.
It also feels to me like she's telling me something about a male who had a wound to his hand. What's the deal with a male close to her or close to you who had a wound to his hand, like a hurt finger or a hurt hand?
My son had a wound to his hand. That's the only thing I know of.
Okay, hang on to it. It's something, it feels like it's something a little more than that.
Okay.
Just hang on to something that is about, and it feels like this is an older man. Now, if you're talking about your son, I'm assuming that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that he's probably a younger male. I'm feeling this is an older male, and I'm feeling this is a male that is also close to you. Now, you say this is grandmother. Is this father's mother?
Yes.
Feels like, did your dad have a wound to his hand when he was younger?
Possibly. I don't know.
Ask him.
I will.
Ask him and let me know on my website if you validate that. Who's John?
John is my cousin. That's her grandson.
Okay. I picked up the name John. Why is she telling me something about you need to, and she's laughing when she says this, she says you need to pay more attention to, do you have a female child?
No.
Who is you need to pay more attention to her? And she's laughing when you say that. You need to pay more attention to her.
I don't know.
That's a piece of advice that she's giving, so think about that, too. Whoever she's saying, you need to pay more attention. What's the deal between, your mom is still in the living world, correct?
Yes.
Why is it that there's something about paying attention to your mother? That's what she's getting. There's something about you need to pay more attention to your mom.
I think that my grandmother probably thought I was a little bit straying from her belief system.
Okay. I can buy into that. There's a little bit more to it than that, but that's almost like horseshoes. That's close, but not an exact thing. There's something about she's wanting you to pay more attention to your mom.
Well, those two did not have a very good relationship.
Okay.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I'll think about it.
Think about that part about it. What's the question you'd ask your grandmother if she was here right now?
Does she feel that I'm on the right path?
The answer that she would give you if she were here to tell you this in person would be, you're putting forth a really great effort, and there's been a lot of things that have shifted and changed and turned around, and that's part of it. It feels like there are some people that you need to really renew things with a bit, like your mom. There needs to be some renewal things that go on, but you've put forth a lot of effort in the recent past to get things back on track. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And with those efforts, I'm going to ask you point blank. Did you do something that was very instrumental, like one big act of getting yourself back on target?
Yes.
They're applauding you for that.
Hey, can I ask a quick question here of both of you?
Sure.
Okay. Now, you were saying that Grandma was saying you have to pay attention to her. Then your big question here was, are you on the right path? Could it be that you already knew that was kind of your question. Could it be that is your mom been trying to give you advice about something or helping, you know, trying to help you get focused to do something that maybe your grandma's answering that question in advance by saying, pay attention to her?
It's possible that my mom is developing some health problems.
Okay.
And it's very possible that I need to pay attention to her because she's developing these problems.
Okay.
I mean, that's one thing that was mentioned to me by someone else that is very is a possibility, but I really haven't listened to my mom's advice in a long time.
Well, your mom's, let me interject into this. You and your mom, sometimes the way that energy feels to me is that you have a real, and as lots of children do, have a real differentiation of opinion. But if you really stop and look at the situation, Laura, I'm going to tell you this. You and your mom may have a lot of dissimilarities, but in a lot of ways, you're very much alike because, and please don't take this wrong, you both can be stubborn and hard-headed when it comes to listening to each other.
Well, yeah.
So given that fact, if you turn that fat part of it off and listen to that, I think that's what your grandmother was going for in that relationship respect. Just, you know, agree to disagree, but don't let it blow the relationship totally off its foundation.
Okay.
All right, Laura, well, thank you very much for calling into the Darkness on the Edge of Town this evening. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Chip Coffey, and Chip is a psychic and a medium, and he's on hand to kind of talk to us a little bit about his abilities and what he's doing. He's also doing some mini readings. If you have an interest, oh, good grief.
Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Nope, we're getting a connection here. Hold on 1 second. All right. Oh, wow, our lines are clipping out on us. It's kind of crazy in here, Chip. See, we always have fun times when we have people involved in the psychic world.
Isn't that weird that it always happens like that, that electronic things tend to really foul up when you've got somebody that's a psychic or an investigator on with you?
Yep, no doubt. Now, we do have a quick question for you here. I'd like to know about, and if you can get a little bit in depth with me on this, it'd be great. Could you tell me, Chip, you do, you're a counselor, what's the word I'm looking for here? Not counselor, but you're a, I guess counselor is a good word, right?
That's a good word.
You counsel, and you've got a kind of a psychiatric background in that sense, right? How do you know that you're not actually doing a reading for somebody that you're just giving them common sense instead of, you know, kind of inputting over it? How do you differentiate between your own thoughts and maybe what the spirits are telling you?
Why should there be a differentiation between those two things is not a blending of modalities, I think, in its purest sense? Lots of people have said to me in the past, out of things that Spirit came through, Spirit said, basically to Laura, get along with your mother. You know, that's just good common sense. But you know what? If we expect spirits that come through to us, as some people do, to map out our lives, solve all our problems, tell us the right way to do things, then we are totally looking for the wrong things in a psychic reading.
Mm-hmm.
We should be looking for things that sometimes they are going to come through as practical sage advice from spirit, because that's what we most need to hear. So in a blending of modalities, I can't tell you that I'm completely turning off who Chip is. But what I do in the real sense of it is I turn that part off for the most part, but use the language or the way that I would phrase things to actually bring through things so that people will understand them. Not that I'm censoring or putting words in spirit's mouths, but they say things to me and put things in my head in language that they know that I can easily translate back to the person that I'm doing a reading for.
Fair enough. Now, again, as I'll mention real quickly, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Chip Coffey, and if you have an interest in getting a reading from Chip or learning more about him, then you can go to his website, which is www.chipcoffey.com. There's great information there. You can see all kinds of stuff about his paranormal investigations. You can also read about him, his history, his background, what he does, and you can schedule readings for yourself there. We're going to go to our second caller here. We have Teresa on line two. Teresa, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Teresa, thank you very much for calling in this evening. Chip, can you hear Teresa okay?
I can hear Teresa. If she'd speak up just a little bit, that would be great, and we can start.
Okay, Teresa, why don't you go ahead, and you heard the rules, I think, right? You got to give them a name, the relationship you had with that person, and about how long that person has been gone, and I'll shut up and let you two do your work.
Hey,
okay,
Teresa.
I suppose I could do that, but I was just wondering if he could tell me if he picked anybody up around me or anything about me without me telling him anything.
Now, are you asking me to try to pick up spirit energy around you, Teresa? Are you asking me to do a general reading around you?
You pick up around me?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing that came to me was there's something, a similar situation with some things going on. They said the word Laura, that it's a very, you've got kind of a piggyback thing going on with Laura, the previous caller. So there's some things that need to be fixed within family situations or interpersonal relationship things that you've been working on, and you're making good progress with being able to do that. What's the deal with spirit telling me that you, and I'm asking you this question fully, that there's something that you're stuck in at this point in time that you're trying to deal with, you know, from a heart and head standpoint for the battle, your heart is telling you to do one thing, your head is telling you to do another, and really, you know which one it is you're supposed to be doing, and you need to move ahead. So they're saying, stop belaboring the fact of what you're doing and just move ahead with regard to that. Does that make sense?
No, not really.
Okay, what's the deal with something going on with an interpersonal relationship that's very close to you? It's a male relationship that you need to just move ahead from.
I've been married for 25 years.
Okay.
We've been happily married, and so I really don't know.
Okay. Maybe I'm picking up the wrong thing, but I'm picking up there's something to do, and it doesn't feel like it's necessarily a romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
but there's some relationship with a male that it's time to cut, to either fish or cut bait, and I think cut bait is the thing that they're telling me to do, that you need to do.
Okay, I'll think about that.
Doesn't make any sense to you, huh?
Mm-mm.
Okay, hold on to it. That's all I'm saying. A situation,
okay.
If it isn't already there, something's going to come up. And if you're having a hard head, how can I say this and get it out? Head, heart debate about this, for whatever it is that you're supposed to do, it's best to just walk away from the situation and let it rest. Ask me a specific question if there's something that you really want to know, because I'm not really picking up anything that I'm supposed to, like, deliver a great message to you other than that.
Okay, how about the name Frank or Frankie? That's my father.
And how long has he been gone?
About 11 years.
There's things about confusion that are around him. There's something about confusion and disclarity. So I'm feeling like to some degree there was some level of confusion surrounding him with, again, a piggyback on Laura. It feels like there's some confusion that's going on inside of him as far as disclarity goes before he passed. And that lots of times is due to the fact that the person is slipping away or is medicated. I feel that there's a sense of you not having completeness with that situation. That you haven't completed what you went through with him.
He died of colon cancer, so it was a really slow death. And he, you know, slowly slipped into a coma. We knew he was dying for like 4 years before he died. He went to Duke and had a lot of surgeries. And so I really feel like we had closure. And, you know, it was a very peaceful death.
There's something missing. There just feels like there's something missing that you feel was missing with the piece of that. That's the way it feels to me. Not coming from him, but coming from your energy. That's coming not from spirit, but coming from you, that you feel like there's something that's missing out of what you wanted out of that relationship with your dad, that there's a lack. And it's not like you miss him or mourn him. There's something missing out of that piece of the puzzle.
No.
Not getting it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no.
Hold on to that, Teresa. Maybe there's something that'll come to you later. You know, maybe unfortunately there's just not a connection being made for you tonight, but we do appreciate you giving a call in, and thank you for listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Chip Coffey this evening. He's a psychic and a medium. He's here doing mini readings for you, talking to us a little bit about his experiences in the paranormal world and his abilities. We'll be back with more with Chip right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Howdy, this is Don Raleigh from Evolve Systems. Evolve Systems can't help you lose weight, we don't know anything about diamonds, and we can't help you save a boatload of money on your car insurance. What we can do is help you with your merchant processing. We work with small businesses to provide credit card processing, debit card processing, gift cards, and check acceptance. Whether you need a point-of-sale system, a credit card terminal, or want to accept payments over the internet, Evolve Systems will work with your small business to find the right solution for your merchant processing needs. Ask us how you can get a free copy of QuickBooks 2006. You can reach us at 651-628-4000 or on the internet at www.evolve-systems.com. Now you have a friend. Well, not yet. But give us a call at 651-628-4000, and we can chat. Evolve Systems, where we help you to manage change. This is Don Raleigh. Cheers.
Women today are busier than ever, making it harder and harder to take care of ourselves. I'm Robin Leverton, owner of Ciao Bella Permanent Cosmetics in Brooklyn Park. We specialize in beautiful, natural-looking eyeliner, eyebrows, and lip color. We provide professional and personalized service in a sanitary environment. When you choose Ciao Bella, you are guaranteed the gentlest method available. I'll work with you one-on-one to help you achieve your desired look. We offer a full, rich color palette that will accentuate your natural beauty. If you have allergies to conventional makeup, suffer from hay fever, watery eyes, or the embarrassment of little or faint brow color, and you want a look that will stay fresh all day, every day, then we have the perfect solution for you. Time is a rare commodity, and with Ciao Bella Permanent Cosmetics, we help you take control of your time by giving you a low-maintenance, fresh appearance that you will love every day. Book your appointment by January 31st, and you will receive a 25% discount. You deserve to look your best, and at Ciao Bella, we want to help you. Call 612-306-4961. That's 612-306-4961.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
If you want to listen, it's your funeral. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town paranormal radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with us this evening, our guest is Mr. Chip Coffey. He's a psychic and a medium. He helps people to connect with people that have crossed over to the other side. He also is a paranormal investigator. And Chip, we've got another call on the line for you, if you've got a few seconds for us here.
Absolutely.
On line one, and I hope I got this correctly, I believe that the name was Robin. Is that right, Robin, on line one?
Yes, it's Robin.
Okay, Robin, and you were interested in getting a reading with Chip Coffey, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I will be quiet and let you guys go ahead.
Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well this evening. Tell me what I can do for you. Who do you want me to try to talk to, or do you have specific questions you wanted to ask about what's going on in your life?
Well, the person that I want to see if we can get in touch with is Gwen.
Gwen, okay.
Who's my mother-in-law, and it's been 20 years. And you have to talk a little louder, please. I'm sorry.
Okie doke. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Gwen, mother-in-law, and it's been 20 years that you said, right?
Yes.
Okay. I will tell you that Gwen comes across as being somebody that had a good heart and a good soul. She was the type of person that would really tell it like it is. She, not in a brutal way, but she was somebody that would find a way to get her point across.
Mm-hmm.
You're awfully concerned about the fact that she... The way that it feels to me is that you yourself have some sensitivity for when spirits are around, yes?
Yes.
You sense that she's around, but you question who it is. You wonder, I'm hearing that you wonder out loud even sometimes, is this you that's around, that you feel like there's some sort of connection that you've got with her?
Yes.
She's indicating to me that the answer to that question is yes. You've seen her, and she's telling you something about a specific light fixture or a lamp that does weird things to your house. You understand that?
Uh-huh.
There's something about the fact that when that happens, you've actually said out loud that you get that there's a spirit that's doing that. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And that's Gwen doing that. Gwen tells me this, that you weren't always sure exactly how that relationship was. Well, you know, people can say mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, that's the case. You and Gwen got along very well, but you always, and so did she, wished that that relationship was a little... Not that it wasn't good, but you wished that there was more. Do you understand that?
Uh-huh.
It's a really concrete relationship, and she wants you to know that she's proud of the way that you are and the way that you behaved and the woman that you are. That was important to you because you felt a need somehow, and put this in quotation marks a little bit, Robin, to prove yourself to this woman.
Yep.
It's been kind of a goal for you to prove yourself to this woman. You don't have to do that anymore, baby. She's given you your props.
You nailed it.
She's given you your props on having done a good job for what's doing. Also, what's your husband's name, please?
Jerry.
What's the special thing about Gary with regard to his mother? Is he the only son, the last son? What's the special relationship
the
that she said that she had with him? I'm sorry, say again.
He's the last one.
The last, don't tell the brothers and sisters if this is the case. Don't tell the other siblings, but he was the special one.
Okay.
He was the special one, and that's part of the reason she feels this close attachment to your family, which is the reason that she checks in with you guys very often.
She does.
Did she pass away from something to do that was upper body, like chest stuff, heart, lungs?
Colon.
Oh no, there's something to do with heart complications. What happened with her? All right, was there something to do? I'm getting this thing. Was there something to do with more so that you had to make a decision for how things were going to go with her? And I'm not saying necessarily like you had to shut the machines off, but were there decisions that had to be made with the way she was going to pass?
She had colon cancer.
You know, but at the very end, was there a decision that had to be made to just let her go?
Yeah.
It feels to me like what happened was this, that there's some memory that's attached to somebody letting her go and slowly letting her go. They're showing me my cousin that I was present for at time of death and standing in the room and waiting for her to expire and watching the monitors go down. Do you understand that part of it?
Yes.
Don't remember that part of it. That somebody's stuck on remembering the actual time of death, and it's probably your husband or somebody that's close by. Stop remembering that end time right at the very end. Remember the good times, because somebody, even after 20 years, is still stuck on her at time of death. Do you understand that, Robin?
Yes.
Get out of that rut and remember the good and happy times with her. She's happy. She's content with the fact that you've done a great job with her son and her family, her extended family. She's very happy with you and proud of the mother and the wife that you are.
Yes. you.
We all are, Robin. Thank you very much for calling the Darkness on the Edge of Town tonight. I hope you got something. And again, if you want to follow up with Chip Coffee, you can do it more by going directly to his website, which is www.chipcoffey. And there's no spaces or dashes or underscores, right? It's just chipcoffee.com.
Chipcoffee.com.
Okay. Well, we've got one last call on the line here. We've got about 6 minutes here before the end of the show. If we can do this. Steve, are you with us? Steve, you have to turn down your computer monitor and listen to us on the radio here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, Steve. We've got Chip on the line here. Did you want to go ahead and get a reading with Chip?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Why don't you, if you can turn down, I think we're on a little bit of a delay over the internet, so if you want to turn that down, and then you can hear Chip directly on this. Okay?
Okay.
All right, I'll be quiet. Chip, this is Steve. Steve, Chip.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Pretty good.
Tell me what I can do for you this evening.
Well, I'm trying to get through to one of my ex-girlfriends, and she passed away about 6 years ago. She committed suicide. I never really got to talk to her.
Don't give me too much information.
Oh.
What's her first name?
Danielle.
Danielle was an interesting character. Danielle had her own demons to battle, and I heard you say suicide, so I wish you hadn't given me that information because you fed me that, but I'm going to try. People are going to say Chip's feeding off of that, but I'm going to try not to let that impact anything that I hear. She had her own demons to fight. I'm telling you this, that there's something to do with her, with relationship orientation around her, with how she was formulating relationships with family and friends. I heard that she committed suicide. Obviously, most people that do that. And here, Dave, is the practical part of me, the psychologist part of me coming
right
through. She had to be depressed. She had to have issues that are coming up. So that information, knowing that information, almost clouds or complicates anything that I could say beyond this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So let me just tell you this with something that comes between the two of you. Try to get something that's really personal between the two of you. What's the deal with her laughing about the fact of you two hitting the repeat button over and over on a certain song?
Oh, I can't even remember the song anymore. There was one song we'd sit there and we'd listen to in the car all the time when we were driving around.
But it's like hit the repeat and play it over and over again to where you almost listen to it constantly, and it was almost something like it became ludicrous that you listened to that song over and over and over again.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's the thing also, and she's bringing up the vehicle again, if we're going to stick with the vehicle, what's the thing about and she's saying this, and pardon me for family show, but the damned car not working right. You understand that?
Yep.
There's something about every time you guys seem to want to do something or go somewhere or get in the car was always futzing up.
Yep.
So she brings that point of it up, and also she says something about the fact that you will laugh about this, that she was weird about her hair.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Weird about her hair. There's something about her losing a part of the hair, or like one part of her hair not ever doing right, or else losing a chunk of hair or something, like one part of her hair that she was always like complaining and moaning and groaning about. Do you understand that? One section of her hair.
Yep.
What's the deal with her telling me something about you with a piercing or a tattoo? Have you been considering that?
Yeah. I talked about it a lot when we were going out.
She's laughing at you about it.
I think it should be a Darkness Radio logo tattoo. That's my opinion.
But I'm picking up something to do with either a piercing or a tattoo that she's laughing at you. The funny thing about it is, and I'll tell you this, Steve, you're a little bit of a wuss when it comes to getting that done. So are you thinking about getting it done, but you're a big wuss about having it done, or were you a wuss when you had it done?
Yeah.
She's laughing at you about that.
Yeah,
I won't tell you
the term
that she's calling you because it's a family show.
Hey!
Thank you.
Hey, let's do it.
No.
All right. Tim! He's trying to get me in trouble on the radio. She's calling you a body part.
Elbow? Was your nickname Elbow?
That's a little lower.
No.
She's calling you a big wussy, let's put it that way, for the way that you behaved when you were trying to either think about getting the tattoo. It's almost like you're a big scaredy cat for getting this done. She's okay. She's fine. Lots of people think that suicide victims... I was raised in the Catholic faith, so the Catholic faith tells me if you're a suicide victim, you hit the down button on the elevator and you go straight to hell. I don't believe that. I believe you have to make reparations or you suffer the repercussions and the after effects of taking your own life and aborting your life here on the planet. But I don't believe you go to a classic place like hell. I believe that she had to atone for what she did for cutting short her life. But she's made a lot of strides in the spirit world, and I feel like she's doing okay, enough to where she can readily come back and give you the raspberry and let you know that she is okay and that she still values the time that the two of you had together. You've cleaned your act up and gotten a lot together in this past 6 years since she's died.
Somewhat, yeah.
So she's congratulating you on that fact for doing that, but she's still telling me to tell you this, that lots of times you just don't dive in and get it done because you have this thing, Steve, with almost a fear of success and almost a fear of accomplishment. Sometimes you put up the roadblocks for yourself, and she's saying tear down those roadblocks because she believes in you more than you are believing in yourself right now. Understand that?
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Steve. I hope we were able to make a connection for you there. And Chip, it was fantastic having you on with us this evening, and hopefully we can have you back with us more in the future. Is there anything you want to talk about you're promoting? We got about 45 seconds left on the show. Anything you want to promote for yourself coming up?
Well, the one thing that I will tell you is that a former guest on your show, John Zaffis, and I, along with Carmen Reed, are writing a book called Demons from the Dark. It's a book about the infamous Connecticut funeral home haunting, and we're hoping to have that book out in conjunction with the movie about the cases coming out in 2007. That's one thing, and probably that's the thing that I would promote the most is the book with John and with Carmen.
Okay, and if people are interested in getting personal readings with you, they can contact you directly at your website. Is there any other way that they can reach you?
They can. I encourage people to call me at my home number here. I usually answer my own phone. That number is 770-806-0369, kind of between 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'd be happy to set up an appointment for readings for people.
Okay. Well, Chip, I appreciate everything that you've done there. For everybody else, stay tuned with us because hour two is coming up with our regular guest, Rose Van Den Enden. And she is the author of a brand new book called So You Want to Be a Medium. We want to thank our guest this evening, Mr. Chip Coffey, for shedding some light and talking to some people here. We hope a little bit of healing started up for people like Steve. And again, if you had the reading this evening, there were a few things that didn't make sense. Make sure you talk to family members, see if there's anything that might make more sense for you and making your connections. And as John Edward is fond of saying, make sure that you make your connections while the friends and relatives are here with you on Earth so that somebody like Chip doesn't have to keep doing this for a living.
Absolutely.
We appreciate your time with us tonight, Chip. We appreciate you listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Stay tuned because our next guest is coming up right after this.